You may want to turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 31. Now you're going to have to exercise because we have to do this a little different. Now this is a verse that has no answer. And you could read 1,000 commentaries and they don't know what to do with it. So I'm going to have to help you through it. So you have to work a little bit on building. So, and I'll give you what it is, chapter 31 and verse 22. How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth, and here it is, a woman shall compass a man. And there's not enough information to help go with it. We need some help. So keeping that in mind, some things it was very familiar to them, but not to us down this road. So we have to take the pieces we have to get it. And the Hebrew Jewish commentators and the Gentile commentators and all of them, they're all over the place because they don't know what to do with it. And they're very silly answers. Let's see, it's an exercise for you. Let's see where it goes. So, in the light of the context, we're looking at the context in Jeremiah chapter 31. And Jeremiah 31 is an encouragement to the people in Jerusalem, Judah, and Babylon that Ephraim, the 10 tribes in the north, are going to be converted. They're going to be saved at the end of the tribulation. And all that they wouldn't do up till the Assyrian captivity, all that they wouldn't do, they will do then. Not till then. And therefore we have in verse 18 and 19 the verb return. And we looked at all of that. And that's what Ephraim, the ten tribes in the north, are going to be converted and saved at the end of the tribulation. So, having said that, and that's an encouragement to them, because Judah and Benjamin, the two tribes, are going to be converted with them. So they need to be encouraged about the future. And in being encouraged about the future, you want to keep in mind that that future is down the road. And they just need to know the future of Israel, and the believing believers, Jews, are going to enjoy that ultimately. So, in returning and being saved, etc. Now, having said that, that's the subject. That's the whole point of chapters 31 and 32, even chapter 30. So therefore, underline, we're going to return. They're going to return. In other words, things are going to go back to better than they were. Things are going to be put in order in a most wonderful way. That's what they need to know. That's what we need to know. Here we are now, here, in our bodies as they are, in our conditions, locally and nationally and globally, and where it's headed. It isn't a very encouraging picture, to say the least. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, but we are assured that here and now is going to become there and then. So that's what we know. So we can hang in there and go through whatever, and whatever we have to go through, and survive, because we see the future. Okay, so that's what God's doing to help Israel, help Jerusalem and Judah, as Nebuchadnezzar is going to come in not very long from now and level the city and the temple in Jerusalem. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, and keeping in mind the whole world then, and that is not interested in believing God's wonderful word and honoring God's wonderful plan and God's saving grace from Calvary's cross. They aren't interested in that. So that'll keep that in mind. So having return and restoration in our mind, and they're going to return 70 AD, 70 years, Ezra, Nehemiah, and the cross, and the tribulation, grace, and tribulation, all of that, as we go into the future, is going to happen. Now, having said that, here's the God is looking at them, and in verse, chapter 31, verse 22, "Oh, how long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter, unfaithful, unreliable, wandering all over the place." That's what the verb is. How shall they go about? To go about from one thing to another, to get away from. How can we avoid maneuvering, wavering, to get away from what we need to do to God, etc.? Wavering, up and down, all over the place, but never to God. Now, with that in mind, that's what Lord's looking at. He's seeking to encourage Judah, and here in Jeremiah, encourage the believers to stop listening to the false prophets, to stop listening to the priest and everybody that are telling them all the wrong things for the wrong reasons, and it's all going to come out wrong. He's trying to tell them, don't be doing what you do the way you do it. So, is this consistent, this verse 22, how long are you going to be doing this? So let's go back and come forward, a little exercise, to see if it's consistent and that we should stay with that. Over, if you would, please, to Jeremiah in chapter 3. And in Jeremiah chapter 3, picking up, please, in verse 1. "They say, if a man put away his wife, and she go from him, and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Shall not the land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers. Now yet return," remember what we read in verse 31, turn, you got to return around. They never turn around. They're always facing the wrong way, going the wrong direction. So they got to turn around. So the end of verse 1, "The harlot with many lovers, yet return again to me, saith the Lord." So now, sliding over, if I can, to verse 7. "And he said, after she had done all these things, turn," there's your little word, "turn thou unto me. But she returned," there's your word, "not." She did not return. "And her treacherous sister Judah saw it." In other words, 136 years ago, approximately, the people in Jerusalem, looking at the 10 tribes in the north, saw that they didn't change. They didn't change. And they should. And then the Assyrians came in and took them into captivity. They should have seen it. They should have understood it. They didn't. Now, so having said that, over, if I can, to verse 22. Here's your little word again, verb. "Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God," etc. They need to return. The remnant knows they need to return, but the nation does not. Chapter 4 and in verse 14. So as history is going down the corridor of time, looking at them, they just don't change anything. Hang on to that. They don't fix it. They just don't fix, don't change. Chapter 4. And if I can, chapter 4 and in verse 14. "O Jerusalem, Wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? Hanging on, how long? Remember, return, they got to return. And what we're looking at, a little verse, chapter 31, 22. How long? Now we're adding to it. Has God said how long? Yes, he has said how long? How long? He keeps saying, how long? How much longer? How much more time do you need? Now, having said that, if I can, over in chapter 7, and in chapter 7, picking up, please, in verse 13. And now, because you have done all these works, saith the Lord, I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but you heard not, and I called you, but you answered me not. God said, how long is it going to be? And I, every day, as it were, I get up early, the prophets rise up early, I send you the message, turn around, fix things, change, stop going in the wrong direction, over and over. Hang on to that. Now, having said that, chapter 7, verse 25. I'll read verse 24 to help us. Verse 24, 7:24. But they hearken not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsel and in the imaginations of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Why don't they turn around and go forward? Because they keep going backwards. Verse 25, since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt, that goes way back when they're in the land of Egypt, unto this day I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. So in question, God, as God said, hang on. So year after year go by. And you keep after them, and they just keep going the wrong direction. Now, having said that, chapter 25. And in verse 3. And in the 30th year of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, even unto this day, that is 23rd year, the word of the Lord hath come unto me. I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but you have not hearkened. Verse 4. The Lord has sent unto you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, but you have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to hear. So if you were going to court and going to say, did you have opportunity? And you'd go back and turn the page. You didn't do it. So you're proving your case. Now, having said that, keeping that chapter 26. And in verse 5, to hearken to the words of my servant the prophets, whom I sent unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but you have not hearkened. Chapter 29. How long? And you just didn't. I rose up early, and it didn't respond. Chapter 29. And in verse 19, because they have not hearkened to my words, saith the Lord, which I sent unto them, by my servant the prophets, rising up early and sending them. But you would not hear, saith the Lord. They just don't want to hear, time and again, year after year, etc. Now, back over, if I can, chapter 31. And remember, we shared the word to wander in verse 22. How long wilt thou go about, the word to go about, verb to go about, to wander It's causative, reflexive, causative, that kind of thing. And to waver, to turn about in order to keep from going the right direction. So therefore, when we come to chapter 31, and in verse 22, wondering, remember now they didn't hear, they didn't heed, and God is trying to tell them in chapters 30, 31 and 32 of a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing he's doing. He's going to do. And if they would wake up, they would catch on very quickly, and who knows what might have happened, but they didn't do it. So therefore, O backsliding daughter, faithless, turning away, rebellious, etc. For, in verse 22, for giving you a cause, a reason, because the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth, a woman shall compass a man. And the verb created is the verb used in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created. So it's God's word. God keeps that bara. That's his verb, to create out of nothing. God does something. God is going to do something. What is something? It's new, and God's going to do it. That's what we know. It's new, and God's going to do it. And it's going to be new in the earth, not just in the land, not just there, all over. Oh, here's all the whole world running around doing what it does. And what is that? What's new? A woman shall compass a man. That's what's new. So having said that, keeping that in mind, a woman shall compass a man. So, and that's word, take the word new. So we get that part, new. Something's new that God's going to do. Okay. And so the new, and without turning there, but if you took time to read in 1 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 7, when David, remember they're bringing the ark back from the Philistines, and the Philistines had taken the ark, and they had to put the ark in a new cart, a new animals, a new cart. Everything had to be new, not old, new. Now, and go over with me to some Isaiah 42 for a minute. Isaiah chapter 42, and you'll pick it up. I may go into chapter 42, verse 8. I am the Lord, directly in the light of the context. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. So God here, it's new. God does things that he has to tell you that's new. Hang on to that one. New. And so in the process of being new, in this restoration, it's anew. And by the way, if you're looking there in chapter 31, go over if I can. And it's a new covenant, you're going to read it coming up. A new covenant. There's the word new. Anew. Not like the old that at Mount Sinai, a new one. Now, so the word new, something's going to come that's new, and in the light of the need to return and to return and be restored, it's a sure thing they're going to return, be restored at the end of the tribulation. There's no question about it, not even anything. So therefore, what's going to be wonderful then? Chapter 31, picking up, please. Remember what we did when we were in chapter 31, verse 12. Therefore shall they come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat and for wine and for oil and for young and of the flock and of the herd and of the and for their soul shall be as, remember we did this, watered garden, and they shall not sorrow in any more at all. And we shared, that this watered garden. And the thing that we wanted to note there, what's going to happen that's wonderful in the future that is not now? Instead of turning to God, return and looking to God, they're going every way except to God, so they don't enjoy any of the benefits. In the future, the benefits are going to be enjoyed. And therefore, you'll notice in verse 12, it shall flow together, the verb, remember we did these things, and shall flow together to the goodness of the word. The word goodness has to do with God's abundant, God is good, his abundantness, his goodness. What are they going to do? They're going to flow like a river, like a stream. They're going to move. They're going to come in the direction of God because God is good. And from a good God comes all the good things. So that everything that they lack and they need, they're going to flow like a river to God in the kingdom when the Lord comes. It's going to be a wonderful thing to look to God, to trust God, to walk with God, to honor God. It's going to be an awesome thing. Goodness, what a garden now. And you will note when we slid down to verse 14, and I will satiate the soul of the priest with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. So people are going to flow together. It's a wonderful thing. You don't go make believe. Let's see what we can do that's exciting today that's needed. Gold. Don't count on the dollar. Look to gold. So we're going to have a big piles of gold coins out there, piles. And anyone can come and take as many as they want. Do you think people will come? What do you think? Do you think they go for them? I said, oh, no. No, they come, the gold. Why, you want that? It's good, you need it, gold. Now, God is good. And remember we shared the word in verse 14, I will satiate. The word satiate means soaked, watered, wet, saturated, and the easy A way to remember it is think of a sponge and take the sponge and put it down into the water, a good old good sponge. Put it down into the water and let it get saturated. So as you lift it, the sponge is soaked. It is satiated. It can't hold any more water. That's the word. Watered garden, satiated. What? God is going to satisfy, verse 14, to satisfy, to satiate, to full. In other words, it's overflowing and awesome what God would do and will do. That's awesome in the millennium, when he comes. That's awesome. Why don't you turn around? How long is it going to take you to turn around? Now, having said that a little bit and keeping that in mind if I can, now thinking of that, God's sureness and goodness, go over to Ezekiel chapter 37. And in Ezekiel, remember, they need to return, and God's going to create a new thing, something new, never was. What's going to be never was? Well, for Israel, what never was? Well, did they turn around in the 10 tribes and get straightened out? Nope. Are the two tribes in the south, Judah, Benjamin, are they turning around? Is Nebuchadnezzar still going to level the city? Yep, still going to do it. Why won't they turn around? How long is it going to take, you old foolish daughter? Israel, how long is it going to take to wake up? But you aren't waking up. You just don't wake up. The human heart doesn't wake up. It's impossible. Now, God, what are you going to do with a people like that? Hang on to here. You got Ezekiel? Hold your finger there. Go over with me to Deuteronomy. Now, you got a lot of pages between your fingers. Deuteronomy. And chapter 4. And note something else. Deuteronomy chapter 4. I know you, I'll let you adjust your fingers. Chapter 4, may I go to verse 27. 4 and 27, Deuteronomy. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, which is what's going to happen, the Assyrian captivity, the Babylonian captivity, Titus in 70 AD. Verse 27. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and you shall be left few in number among the heathen, the nations, whither the Lord shall lead you. And there ye shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, idols and idolatry, of wood and stone, which neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. They're lifeless, powerless. Verse 29. But when you're in those places, when you're scattered all over the world, when everything is dark and dreary and dull, verse 29, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul, that's what you have to do, turn around, repent, get back. Good. But they aren't doing it. This is Deuteronomy telling you where the history is going to go with, which we just read in Jeremiah. We just read it. But we read what happened. But here's the beginning. Before they even crossed the Jordan River. Verse 30. When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, which are coming up, tribulation, if thou, what's the little word, turn, he told them, you got to turn. You got to return. Way back. But they aren't returning. If thou turn to the Lord, thy God, and shall be obedient unto his voice. But they just didn't do it. They just didn't do it. So what new thing are you going to do, God? What is it? They're looking. They certainly aren't accommodating your word, the prophets. They aren't listening. They don't want to listen. And Nebuchadnezzar's coming in. Now, God, what's the new thing you're going to do? It's hopeless. That's what they're picking up, remember? But God just said it isn't hopeless for the 10 tribes in the north. It's not hopeless. There's a wonderful future coming up. So therefore, chapter 37 of Ezekiel. And in chapter 37, you remember the subject of the coming, all the God's wonderful things God's going to do at the end of the tribulation. Verse 1, 37:1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Full of bones. Hang on. And caused me to pass by them about round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. So they're very dry and very dead bones. The whole valley full of dead bones. Verse 3. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. That was a smart answer. And say, they can't. He said this. Verse 4. Again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And verse 5. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Now, and so as you read the wonderful context, God's going to do what? He's going to take dead Israel, dead and dry. The tribulation is going to make them drier and deader, but it's going to wake them up. That's what it's going to do. And all those things. God's going to do a wonderful thing. Now, and God's going to wake them up. How are you going to wake up? God. They don't want to wake up. They don't want to turn around. And are you going to say how long again? No, not this time. Not this time. No more how longs. No more rising up early and having to get them to tell them to do something. Nope, no more. And therefore, chapter 37, sliding down to verse 9. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophets, to the wind, prophets, unto the wind, prophecy. Son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. And, you know, sliding over verse 11 for context. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. So you know what they are. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost, but we are cut off from our parts. The whole ball, we got bones. We got nothing. Ah, God, what are you going to do? God, now who's going to help somebody like that? When you're negative, 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 and you get so that there's nothing in you at all to want to go to God. Just bones, dry bones. God's going to go and do something wonderful with those bones, and he's going to make them live. He's going to say in a moment of time, the Spirit of God, remember Zechariah 12 and 13, Zechariah is going to, the Spirit of God is going to go and judge them and awaken their heart. And they're going to cry out without turning to Zechariah. And they're going to see that when the Lord steps out, that when he comes, remember in Revelation 1, they're going to see, every eye shall see him. What are they going to see? His nail-pierced hands when he comes. And they're going to what? They're going to realize what they did and step back into their house as if they just lost their only son. They're going to repent, return, be restored. Wow. God does that. Human heart doesn't want it. God said, I'm going to do it. It's a new thing I'm going to do. I'm doing what they can't do. They won't do. But I'm going to do it. I gave it a promise to Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm going to do it. So therefore, you would know. Verse 12, therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Egypt. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. You'll know. But who's doing it? God's doing it. God's doing the thing. Now, hang on. So in the light of that, Ezekiel, God's going to do a wonderful thing. Now, so therefore, in Jeremiah 31 again, all of that is safe truth, safe understanding. We're safe. We got solid stuff we're standing on. Don't have to worry about it. I got it. So now, having said that, here's Jeremiah chapter 31, and we just took time to do this, but, and it isn't done, you have to do it, but now, if I read verse 22, 31, 22, how long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter, Israel? For the Lord reason, because the Lord hath created a new thing. In other words, God's going to make the impossible possible. God's going to make the impossible possible. That's, no one else can do it. No one else can go and make bones live. No one else can take tribulation and get the heart to be changed in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, and a new thing, God's going to do. Now, we'll try it. Hold your finger here and go with me to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes and chapter 1. We didn't do that, but let me try it. I want you to make a comparison. The world, looking at the world. We live in the world, we look out and we study in libraries and everything, we got them. Okay, Ecclesiastes chapter 1, Song of Solomon, we're looking at the book of Ecclesiastes, all 12 chapters are on what? Looking at earth, leaving God out. Remember we did Ecclesiastes, and leaving God out now. So remember, chapter 1, picking up please, in verse 9. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. Verse 10. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see this is new? It has already been of old time, which was before us. In other words, everything's old. The rising of the sun, getting out of bed, men are born, men die. Everything's the same. We don't need to change. How long before you turn around? See, we're caught. Looking at this way, you aren't going to get encouraged. All you're going to do is see it as it is. God said you got to look up. You got to look up. Got to look to God. And therefore, a new thing God's going to do. See, if we keep looking out like this, and that's what Israel was doing, looking out like this, you're not going to fix anything. You're not going to change anything. And all such statements, it's like saying pie in the sky by and by, which will never happen. That's all we can do and say that'll never happen. That'll never happen. Hang on. Now, having said that, keeping that, if I can. So back over, if I can, to Jeremiah 31. There's no new thing. So the world says that. And here in chapter 31, verse 22, the end. The Lord hath created a new thing. God did it. It's new. In the earth, something God has to do. A woman shall compass a man. So, and here's a woman. A woman is the word female, woman. Woman, female. A female is going to compass. And the word compass has to do, it's intensive, it's an active verb. It means to surround, to enclose, to look for and to encompass, to take something and surround it, to enclose it, to go for it. Going to do, to look for something, after something, as it were, to look for, to solicit, as it were, to solicit, you're asking, looking, seeking something, the woman seeking something, encompassing the man. The word man is the word, Hebrew word, for strong, manly, courage. It would be the word for warrior. The woman's looking, woman, is going to surround, move, in the solicit, go to a man, looking, pleading, looking, coming, they need to be helped. What did we read in Deuteronomy and chapter 4 and verse 37 then? The day will come that you'll turn around and seek the Lord, and you'll seek him. You'll seek him. In the tribulation, without turning there, all that, you know, Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 6, and the great time of Jacob's trouble, the tribulation. It's a horrible time coming up. A horrible, horrible, horrible time. It is. But it's going to wake them up. It's going to wake them up. That's what it's going to do. And the woman's going to wake up. Israel's going to wake up. And Israel's going to turn and seek God. Seek God, that which is to do what? That's unheard of. Unheard of for somebody like, let's do it a different way. It's unheard of for dead bones to get up and walk around. It's unheard of for Israel to get up and do that. No one, remember what you read in Ecclesiastes, everything's the same. Everything's the same. No, it isn't. No, the heart that turns to God, seek me with all your heart and you'll find me. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so I hope you're getting a little bit. So in the process, Hosea And chapter, well, the times 14. Hosea chapter 14. And may I pick up and you will notice chapter 14. May I go directly to verse 1. O Israel, see a little word, do you remember you read them? Jeremiah 31, 18, 19, turn, return. Remember the verbs? Keep reading the verbs. Verse 30, 14. O Israel, return unto me, unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn, those are the verbs, same thing in Jeremiah. Take unto with you the word and turn to the Lord, say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, so will we render the calves of our lips. Verse 3, Asher, that's Assyria, shall not save us. We will not ride upon these, upon horses. No, there's no way to escape. There's no way to fight them. Neither will we say any more in the work of our hands, you are our gods, no more idolatry. 4, in thee the fatherless find mercy, God's wonderful mercy. Sliding over to verse 8, what are they going to find? Ephraim shall say, remember what we read, Ezekiel, Jeremiah 31, 18, Ephraim. Verse 8, 14 and 8, Ephraim shall say, what have I to do anymore with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree from me. Thy fruit is found. Israel is going to find what? Israel is going to find a great God like the tree. And they're going to go like ivy wrapped around the tree. Ivy, cling to it, surround, encompass, cling to the tree. A woman should encompass a man. I don't know that. I don't know what that means. I'm just telling you what this means. I'm telling you what the things I know mean. That little phrase, a woman shall encompass a man, you wouldn't even want to know the silly things. That's why in Israel, so I think it's one of the practices, that's why the women dance around the man they're marrying 7 times or whatever it is. Encompass the man. Don't even get into it. I'm just telling you what I know. What's sure? That I know. A woman shall compass a man. Now, so, therefore, like a tree. Now, thus applying it to us. If you took Romans and you can't do it now, a time is gone. Romans, God is going to go and take Israel and put them aside. And God is going to go and he's put them aside. Tribulation has to come down the road. We're down here in this time of grace. So God, here we are, and Israel, what's up? Remember Romans 11. We're supposed to what? Create jealousy to make Israel wake up that you and I have such a relationship to God that they're missing and they should have. And Romans chapter 11. And to wake up. It's provoking them. That's what we're supposed to be. A provoker in a good way. That's what we're looking for. Now, all of that, wonderful. Now, but implying it, I get the point. But Israel's the point. So what are we doing, God? What are you doing? A new thing, a woman shall compass a man. What do you know as we close? 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Case. Therefore, if any man, boy or girl, man or woman, if any boy or man or woman will turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, receive him as the Savior, God's going to do what? To make them, 5:17, a new creature, a new creation. There's your word, new. Something never, never heard of. God's going to do that. A new creation. Never heard of it. The church, Hebrews, the Jews, and the church. That's what they are. Gentiles, Jews, the church. It's a brand new. That's what we are, the church, the body of Christ. What are we doing? We're new. We're brand. All things are passed away. Everything is what? Become new. That's what God's done. It's a wonderful thing.